You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to First Run Bald Movies. Tonight, we're talking about the Neveniers' new movie, Dune, 2021. Fuck everything else. There's one burning question on everyone's mind. Jim, what did you think of the movie Dune?
You mean, what did I think of the first part of what is inevitably going to have to be a mini-part series? This isn't all of Dune, I take it. The title card that says Dune Part 1 and the ending that would make zero sense as a standalone film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was very imaginative and looks incredible. Like, I absolutely love everything about the design of this movie. It's off the charts. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like it, even in something like Foundation, which we're watching right now. It's just the variety of things you see on screen and styles is super impressive. As far as a movie goes, I think it's good, but like I said, it's the beginning of what is a obviously much bigger story, and I have like just a lot of questions about everything, so I don't really know how to feel about it.
Well, at least you don't hate it. I was hoping you'd be like, I fucking love it, I think it's great, I can't wait to see more. But I'll take bewilderment, honestly.
It looked amazing, and I think I was following everything it was putting down. I just have questions that I'm sure subsequent parts will answer.
Sure. And I will say this. This movie isn't exactly like the books. It's very close to the books.
Okay. I recognize some of those scenes because I've read the first few chapters of Dune.
Right. I've read Dune many times, and I just read it within the last year. I think I talked about it on lunch. Maybe I talked about on it on Off the Clock, but about how well it held up. Mm-hmm. And this movie feels a lot like watching Dune. Or, I mean, about reading Dune. You know, like it captures the same kind of feel of awe and grandeur, and it leaves things. I think it actually smooths over some things and is more explicit in some things than the book, but also it knows to hold just enough back to be a little bit mysterious and have a little bit of mysticism thrown in here, which I think is appropriate. Not to the extent that the David Lynch movie where it just was like, what the fuck am I even seeing? There's whole chapters missing. It's just, I think this is a hell of a good adaptation. And like you said, the art direction.
Yeah.
I can't even believe how well integrated the desert terrains and the different places that they obviously filmed on Earth are with these just gargantuan scale, inhuman scale things that are both beautiful and also like garden variety, you know, like
everything is epic, you know. Yes. Like the cities that they kind of carve into the sandstone there, and the, you know, ziggurat style, almost Mayan inspired feel of that stuff. And the way it integrates into the landscape is super cool. You've got these massive ships, just enormous. I don't even know, like they seem to load like 100 people on board, but it seems like it could fit 50,000 people.
And then those look like ants when they come out of the even larger intergalactic starships. Just right. Like, fuck.
Oh, are those starships? I thought those were some kind of like gateway transportation system.
I think they're the Spice Navigators freighter ships. So they're described as being just unfathomably large. Like the Atreides house vessels are also inhuman scale size, but they're just like grains of rice within the cargo bays of these things.
All right. And then just like, I don't know, everything was cool, even down to the small stuff, you know, like the thopters is what they call them, I think.
The ornithopters.
Yeah, with the do I want to say it? I don't know. Is it in the trailer? It's in the trailer, right?
What?
The they have like dragonfly type wings.
Yeah. The latest trailer has that. Yeah, that's what I was waiting to see to get like fully relaxed. Is like, are they going to nail the thropters? The thopters, and they did.
Yeah,
We talked about this, I think, on lunch or something, but it was the last time we did a first run movie. I said, I just couldn't believe how cool these things are. And you don't even know the half of it from the trailer. Like, there's extended scenes based on the unique coolness and special abilities of these different craft.
Gotcha.
You know, that's the thing, is like everything that I thought was cringy a little bit, like the shield fighting. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like the Duncan's rapport with Paul, like it felt a little Joss Whedon-y, a little too jokey, but that like in context, every single thing that I thought was a little cringe was fucking epic and felt extremely natural. Like, you know, it wasn't like a Waka Waka moment. They built up to that. Those are serious characters, and everyone is just that. Everyone is so well cast, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how just rock solid and believable everybody is, even in roles that are like crazy unbelievable. Like when that Reverend Mother comes in there with her pain box, it's a gut check moment for them, because like if you're not in all that movie, that is just high comedy. What's this knitting needle and the shoebox? Get the fuck out of here.
So but that's like, one of the chapters I've read, which gave a lot of context and made me like not raise my eyebrows when this happened at all, because I knew what was happening.
But you think you would? Because I felt like that. I felt like the movie had firmly cast its spell over me. But then again, I guess I'm attuned to this Dune wavelength stuff. So,
yeah, I found myself getting a little antsy toward the end of the movie. Like, maybe this was a tad bit too long. They spent a tad bit too much time at the end, you know, not wrapping this thing up. But they're also world building, like even right to the end. This movie is about 80% world building. And
just like the first part of Dune, like I remember, like the first 100 pages kind of take a while to get going, but they are building shit.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to movie two where we can actually do some shit. But I mean, stuff happens in this movie. Don't get me wrong. There is a lot of grandiose stuff happening. You know, the one thing I guess I expected out of Dune that I didn't get in this movie, and maybe I get it later, is I expected some substance to the style, because there's a lot. This feels like a Star Wars type tale. It's not going to teach you anything about the world or yourself. It's simply going to entertain you for a while. Does that change? Is that not what Dune is, or is Dune more of just like an entertaining sci-fi, epic sci-fi novel?
Well, I think it's that, but like, I do think it says a lot about like environmental stuff and like gender dynamics and politics and you know, I mean, this is all, you know, broadly speaking, the horrors of colonialism and, you know,
sure,
that kind of stuff. So like, I don't know, like it's something that I enjoyed as a 13-year-old. It's something that I really enjoyed as a 20-year-old. And it's something that I still found, like, I remember reading it just last year and thinking like, yeah, this is still relevant. This still feels fresh. Okay. Like, you know, there's so many things that this book will teach you. But, you know, I felt like there's a lot of that, like, the, you know, a lot of the scheming, the intrigue. This is like the Phantom Menace in Star Wars, only not dumb.
Yes. Well, that's very much how it felt. It felt like the politics light version of a sci-fi thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm like looking for too much out of this, but that's what it felt like to me.
Okay. I'm trying to think where I want to stop. Cause I think there's some debate about where this movie ends. And like, to your point about it being maybe slightly too long, where a place that could have it ended, because I kind of feel you. Because man, the movie really hits a crescendo of just grandeur and epicness and awesomeness. and heroic sacrifice and just everything you want. Like, it's like Luke blows up the Death Star and then Star Wars keeps going for another 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And gets Luke to like, on the way, like there's nothing as cool as the Hoth sequence, but he's on his way to Dagobah.
Yep.
But he hasn't met Yoda, and we're just going to stop right there, right as he crash lands into Dagobah. And again, no Hoth battle.
Yeah.
They're just walking through snow for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely what it felt like to me. But, you know, the rest of it was so entertaining. I'm willing to sit through a little bit here at the end to get to the next movie.
No, I mean, I even during that stretch, because again, I'm familiar with the story, and I was just kind of like, huh, I wonder where they are going to end it. And it wasn't like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm being kind of jokey. There wasn't nothing that's happening there. It's just like, again, the high point in the movie came like 45 minutes ago. But the thing is it is so fucking awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to watch this movie at least a couple more times in a theater. I definitely want to take Jack to the IMAX up in the Indiana State Museum, the like full size, not diet, not zero, like the fully leaded IMAX experience, because this is like just the most beautiful movie I've seen in a long time. It is sounds amazing, like the sound design from the when they're using the voice to like the way the prophecies and the dream sound.
The music just, all is very identifiable depending on whose theme it is. And they don't have so much as like themes, but just like styles of music for each of the houses.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool. I will say, speaking of sound, did you have any issues with hearing the voices in this show about like the midway mark? There's a scene which has a bunch of like Tibetan throat singing stuff in the background.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I didn't have any trouble up until then. And then after that, the sound on the voices just cuts out to nothing. Nothing. I rewound it to make sure it wasn't like, oh, my EQ is
for the rest
dynamically
of the
adjusting. Not for the rest of the movie, but in like probably 20% of the rest of the movie. It was just nothing. I couldn't hear it.
No, I did not have that problem. I did not have that problem.
Yeah, I had issues with that.
Wild. But yeah, no, I definitely, I think this is worth seeing on a big screen. I don't know if you agree.
Oh, yeah, I would say it's worth it if you're into it, yeah.
As big a screen as you can see it on, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're going to see this. There's a small window where you can see this on a really big fucking screen.
True.
And then you won't have that experience. So. It looks incredible. The cast is great. I thought, you know, like I took everything seriously, and I thought they did a really good job at the world building and just like the lore, and like these cultures feel real, even though you just see glimpses, glimpses of like this, just really weird shit. And like, you know, pastiches of different religions and cultures, and it's just all mashed up, and it comes together to feel very alien. You know, like, but also very recognizable. It's a feudal system.
Motivations of the characters are very recognizable, even if the technology and the cultures are not.
Yeah, I think this, again, if you don't like this movie, you won't like the book, because I think this movie does a very, very good job of capturing what it feels like to read the book and have your mind. I mean, because like I said, I don't know if it's like important in the way you're looking for it, but it's like one of those things where it's like the ideas are big and it feels important, and also you're just thinking like, for, you know, I was exposed to so many concepts, and it captures the scale, because I think the prose does a really good job of showing, you know, that this, it's a big thing about humanity just being such a small thing against the overall galaxy, against, you know, their starships and their buildings, against the fucking sandworms, you know, like we're just a small part, but yet we have so much power.
These books were written a long time ago, right?
Yes, they were. So Foundation came 60s? First in the 40s and 50s, and then the Dune books came in the 60s and 70s. Yeah,
I was gonna say probably inspired a lot of people, because I'm seeing all kinds of inspiration of other things in this. I'm seeing a shitload of Star Wars, honestly. Like the Ziggurat village town civilization I was talking about looks like the surface of a Death Star or something. Even in the art direction, it's inspiring it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Dune is hugely influential.
Yeah, I was Tremors.
Just, that's the other thing is Tremors, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, when I watched the David Lynch one, I remember thinking like how much that must influence the guys that do the Warhammer 40K stuff. And even in this, it's just like, yeah, you're right. The original source is pretty fucking gothic. And, you know, I want to talk more about that in the spoilers because like just the epic scale. There's something about that. I don't know. Something about this scale of science fiction and Foundation is on this wavelength, too. But this is just even more grim. There's something with a little bit more bottom to it.
Yeah, the forces at work here feel outsized to anything we can comprehend.
Yeah, yeah. How hungry do you think the general public's going to be for the sequel? Do you think this is going to make a bunch of money? Do you think this is going to be really pop?
Yeah.
Because this is two hardcore nerds talking about this, but how accessible do you think this is to people who... You know, they're stumbling around looking for another Game of Thrones, for example. Maybe.
Ooh, no, I would not recommend this to Game of Thrones fans.
Really? Okay.
No, I would recommend this to...
What if they just really want to see Khal Drogo kick ass one more time?
Sure. Sure. what if they want to see Khal Drogo without a beard? Because that's weird.
It is. Seeing Jason, it's every once in a while you see him without a beard and it's like,
Yeah, he still didn't have a beard in Conan, did he?
No, I think that's one of the big problems of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
it's like you don't take the man seriously or anything. It's just, but he loses like he takes a -5 hit to his charisma whenever his beard is shorn.
I loved him in this.
He's the best. He's like, man, when we do the badass scale again, he's gonna have another fucking solid character because wow, Duncan Idaho. What a name.
A fucking awful name.
What a name, huh? Frank Herbert's wilding in this book. He's like one of the religious documents called the Red Catholic Bible. What?
Really?
What is yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. What does that mean?
Is that what Josh Brolin's reading, or is he working on his?
He might be. He actually might be, but he's also
Working on his. what is it? Arrakis. Where's the bathroom?
He's kind of a bard. Oh, he's kind of a bard. You know,
okay,
like a poet warrior kind of guy.
Gotcha.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
All right. Maybe we should get to some trailers and then do some spoiler talk.
Yeah, then we got to do some spoiler talk because, that's about all we got left to go into. There's two trailers that came out this week that I was curious about your opinion on. Let's talk about The Batman first. This all is right. The... sparkly vampire version of Batman.
Robert Pattinson.
What, What do you think about the DC rolling out they're rebranding the Suicide Squad, the Batman. They're going to have the Green Lantern out next because that one's in bad need of rehabilitation.
Is this true?
I don't know, but it's a trend I noticed. The Suicide Squad, the Batman. This isn't the shitty Batman. This isn't the Affleck Batman we tried to roll out. This is,
as long as they don't get the Zack Snyder to direct any of these, I'll be fine. Or especially write any of these. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think of Pattinson as Batman?
I thought it looked pretty cool. I was shocked to see Halle Berry about 30 years younger and reprising her role as Catwoman.
Rolled the clock back, huh?
Boy, they really just like leaned into that depiction of Catwoman, huh?
I guess so. Looks, do you think like this her. Is? Yeah.
Which
I thought
totally fine. I mean, Robert Pattinson seems like a pretty good Batman.
Pretty good Batman. What do you think of the Bruce Wayne?
The hair is not doing it for me. He's not as clean cut as I want my Bruce Wayne to be.
He seems like one of Ramona Flowers' evil exes from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He's got the weird kind of Brandon Lee the Crow hair. And then when he's like fresh out of his Batman mask and his like Batman mascara is running down his face, it's just like he's full on the Crow, man. I don't.
Well, it's got too much.
The wrong flying animal. It's the Crow looking Batman.
For me, it was too much. What's Marty McFly's dad's name in Back to the Future? It was too much Crispin Glover hair for me. I couldn't handle it.
It is a little Crispin Glover.
Yeah,
I don't know. I the Batman stuff looks great. They're really leaning into being like bulletproof, apparently. I thought Batman was like lithe and fast and avoided gunfire, but this guy just kind of like tanks it. Fuck it. I don't care.
That's a really cool shot. I mean, it with is. The gun going off, being the only light in that hallway and the strobe effect. Very cool.
Yeah. Gives a real staccato nature to the scene.
Am I crazy to think, and it's probably been announced, but I haven't been paying attention, that Paul Dano is playing the Riddler in this?
I think so.
Because I love Paul Dano. I think he is fantastic. And as a unhinged riddle master, yes, please.
Yeah, he is the Riddler.
Awesome. All right, I'm in for this
Penguin.
One. Who's the Penguin?
Colin Farrell under a bunch of makeup.
Oh, right. I saw a shot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey Wright's James Gordon, Jim Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, and Andy Serkis is playing Alfred.
No.
I saw him in there. What? Yeah. So this is a much, much younger Batman with a much younger Alfred.
Yeah, that's a much gruffer Alfred than I'm used to.
Also, Alfred's got some skills in the canon. He was like a World War II, I can't remember if he's some kind of spy or combat medic, or he's kind of a badass in his own right. So in his prime, you know, he might be a little bit of a Robin type figure. Maybe he joins Batman in some of these adventures. I don't know.
Yeah, when I think of Alfred, I think of polish, a certain amount of put togetherness that I do not associate with Andy Serkis.
That's true.
Anyway.
He plays rough and tumble types.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can be genteel.
I don't know.
If he can be a gentleman's gentleman. We'll see. We'll see. The other one, Uncharted. What
do
you think
else,
of Uncharted?
Who else I don't associate with being genteel and polished? Nathan
Suave,
Drake.
Smooth. Yeah.
Nathan Drake. What is this movie? This movie looks like absolute garbage.
I don't know.
Am I crazy? Neither of these guys are acting. They've got Mark Wahlberg up there pretending to be a young Sully, I guess.
Because his name is Sully and he's presumably from Boston, they're just like, yeah, fucking get Marky Mark. This is bad casting. Like,
terrible. Tom Holland is not Nathan Drake.
And they can be there, do their own thing with it, I guess. But like, I'm not excited about this movie. This movie seems very
This movie is made for an audience that doesn't exist. It's a mass market movie for people who haven't played the video games.
Oh, so every other video game movie that's ever been made in human history.
Pretty
like,
much.
You know,
and failed, flopped on its face. Yeah, those. Yeah. Those.
Yeah. I don't know. There's like five dudes that could be really good Nathan Drakes out there right now. We have an embarrassment of Drakes out there, and they get Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like they're trying to make a halfway between those Uncharted backstory between Nathan and his brother, like that age, and his actual Nathan Drake, full grown dude. And it's like, who wants to see the adventures of young Nathan Drake? Not I don't even like that was Indiana Jones. Who fucking cares, man?
Yeah, maybe once I'm invested in these characters as movie characters, then you can go back and do this, but not yet. They took like, what, 4 games to get back to that stuff?
You're right. Because imagine if you just, would anyone watch Young Indiana Jones Chronicles if you didn't see Indiana Jones? Fuck no.
No.
It put you off the movies. So
I will say there's one cool thing that I liked about this movie, and it is the boxes falling out of the cargo net, boxes falling out of the plane. I thought that was very video game like and seem too I don't know silly.
Yeah, it felt like a big set piece from an Uncharted game. And I was going to say that there are a couple scenes where they really capture the excitement and kind of pell-mell just Indiana, like you know, these are like modern day Indiana Jones, where it's like you're supposed to be like Indiana Jones. You're not especially good fighter. You're not especially good. You just kind of like are one step ahead, just going from one damn thing to another, swinging on people and jumping over shit until it's over. You know,
except Nathan Drake wears ratty, torn, dirty ass t-shirts, cargo pants, and work boots or hiking boots, right? Yeah, they've got Tom Holland in a tuxedo for half this fucking, he's not James Bond.
No.
That didn't feel like Uncharted at all.
Nathan, he will wear a suit to, like, you know, be the waiter of
when
you know,
he steals
to infiltrate something
clothes.
When he steals. Yeah. Like sure. I mean, he doesn't not wear suits, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. They're leaning into that Casino Royale to try to maybe lure some. That's what I'm saying. It did feel like it's something that doesn't feel like enough people will care about it because it's Uncharted and they're like, gotta make it, you know, people need to think about James Bond and people need to think about a Mission Impossible and people need to think about Fast and Furious.
No.
And it's like, no, Uncharted's cool. You can just make it be Uncharted. Jesus.
Yeah. We fell in love with those characters already. People will do it all over again if you just present those characters.
That's the other thing is like, and I think they're going to find this out, The Last of Us. Video games are as big as Hollywood. Like, if you make a good adaptation of something, you will have millions and millions of people, like, way more than a fucking successful novel or comic book series. Mm-hmm. Way fucking more. And way more fucking invested. Just, tell the story, man.
What do you think is going to be the worst movie? Is it going to be Uncharted, or will it be the Mario movie? Whatever that is. With Chris Pratt playing Mario.
Probably Mario.
Just a series of bad castings.
Uncharted might just be meh. Just might be like a bowl of vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. Fine, you know, but could use some sprinkles. But Mario could be like historically bad, like something that's just like a monument.
The first Mario Brothers movie, yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like there's potential for greatness in a perverse way here. Have Hoskins and Leguizamo show up at the end. Okay, let's put these trailers to bed and let's excuse everyone out from the room that's not a patron or club member, because we're about to talk about spoilers, and that's just for our loyal supporters. If you want to find out how you can be in that group and get access to this here podcast, it's easy. Just go to support.baldmove.com.